The Heath is a land of endless possibility. Between vast stretches of land and sea are communities of animal folk, living life and sharing in its wonder. Flocks of buggy creatures also share in the bounty of the land, from herds of bumbles to beetles to moths delivering letters by moonlight. And although the war was recent and not forgotten, a widespread culture of hospitality and kindness fills the hearts of many. The lonely conquerors of the past will remain as such. So what are you waiting for? Journey is out there, just waiting for you to dive in, and stories are waiting to be found. Come join us for another adventure and see what lies ahead. And don't forget to start with your left foot forward. Welcome to Left Foot Forward. I am your host, Jonah, or Daisy, and this is a Wander Home actual play series where we build the wonderful land of Heath together and fill the world with beautiful stories. Wander Home is a game written by J Dragon and published by Possum Creek Games. If you want to check out the game, there will be a link to where you can purchase it in the episode description. As always, we have a guest on the show today. Why don't you go ahead and say hello and introduce yourselves to the class?
I feel like I'm in school again. It's very fun. Hello. I am Adurin. I also go by, I am Anaru. I go by Adurin online. And I am the host of a Pokemon Mystery Dungeon podcast called Not a Scratch, which I am the GM of.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me here today. Also, listeners, go check out Not a Scratch if you have not. It is a cool show, even if you don't know what Pokemon is. Go check it out. It's cool. Anyway, let me go through what's going to happen today. I already said welcome and thank you, of course, but thank you again. We're basically going to go through character creation. Step by step, we will build the character that you will play in our game of Wander Home. Side by side, I will also point out the choices that I made for my character, Mina. And every now and then, we will stop to discuss TTRPGs in general or elaborate further on the details. Hopefully by this time I have expertly mastered to the transition between interview mode and character creation mode, or just given up all in general of any smooth transition and just put it in the recording. That's what this is. I almost said text, but we have voices, not text right now. Anyway, that's what is going to happen. And to kick us off with that, I'm actually going to ask you my first interview question, which is, as always, what is your experience with TTRPGs? I know you told us you got a show. You actually play a really fun game, which hopefully you'll talk about. But how long have you been playing? Do you have a favorite? Yeah, you can tell us how you started. You can tell us whatever. Yeah.
Cool.
What's the deal?
So I went through the TTRPG system in a roundabout way, I went through it the wrong way. Do not follow my path is what I recommend, because my first experience with TTRPGs is the podcast that I host right now, which is not what you're supposed to do. I would recommend playing games before you start a podcast about the games. And then on top of that, I chose to start as a DM, which is possibly the worst combination of the intersections between playing TTRPGs and, like, if you're a DM versus player, I chose the worst box out of the four combinations there in terms of style, but I think that's almost helped me in a way because without any background or things I can rely upon, it's really been a trial by fire and has sort of developed my own sort of DM style of very I have an improv background from college, and so it combines a sort of DM's take of planning events, which I enjoy doing, but also I leave a lot of things open and just see if any of, in my case, three people, the two players and myself, just fill in the blanks, and then we make a story based off of that. So there have been some really entertaining moments that have been completely spurred by minor comments that players would make. There was an entire love saga that began because one of my players had a simple "oh" comment after an interaction with a character, and that spun a character from being a minor character that would show up one episode and just disappear into the background to possibly the third or fourth most important character in the entire show, just because of small comments like that. And that I wasn't planning any of that, but it's those weird little combinations of things that I enjoy about TTRPG systems. Afterwards, of course, through the podcasting world, I've made more friends and shown up on a bunch of different shows. But it's almost cool to say that the very first TTRPG story I've ever done is still in production to this day, which is kind of wild to think of.
Yeah, that is super cool. And I will say, you do a great job. And the best way to learn is by doing it. So there's definitely nothing wrong with starting right off at a sprint.
I would recommend doing a little bit more studying, though. At least, like, you know, a little bit more about what TTRPG systems actually are. I would also recommend, you know, getting your dice before you actually start, which is kind of a thing I did not do. I bought the dice a little bit afterwards, I think. So, yeah, fun stuff.
Well, good news on that front, because in Wanderhome, we won't be using any dice.
I know. And not lost them. I have purposely misplaced them so that I don't have to worry about finding them.
And none of the story is predetermined, so it sounds like you're in a comfortable space? I don't know. Comfortable is the right word, but you are experienced in that space.
I'm experienced in the make things up part.
So that kind of leads into my next question a bit. I know you started off relatively recently and, as you say, backwards, but what has kept you going? What is your favorite thing that, I guess, making the show or TTRPGs in general let you do? Like, you started off running, but what keeps you going?
Sure. That's a good question. I think they're the classic answers, of course, like the fans and all of that sort of stuff. And they obviously very much helped me want to produce more. But I think kind of figuring out where my story goes that I have little control over is sort of fascinating to me. No, in a way, it's almost like I'm the author of a story that I can also read, if that makes any sense. So I'm writing the story with my players, but at the same time, especially how we record well in advance of episodes being released. So when I go back a long time later and edit through the episode, it's almost like a reminder of, oh yeah, in this part here is why a few episodes down the line, they make that decision. And it's almost like I'm coming back to it, rereading the book again. And it's a really cool experience to see the story from both sides of the wall, if you know what I mean. Like if you take a series that's out there, you read it from the reader's perspective, but not necessarily from the author's perspective. The way that we do our show and the specific style that it is, it's combining the author's perspective so you know why decisions happen. But also, when you look at it from the editing standpoint and re-listening to episodes to make sure things sound okay, you also get to hear it from a reader's perspective and sort of figure out how the plot progressed there and remind yourself of cool little tidbits. I always love doing things where I'll toss away some point in episode 3, for example, and then in episode 15, that same point is brought up again, and it's like, wow, he was able to make the story last that long, when in reality, it's just because, no, there's such a large gap between the recording and editing that when I edit the episodes, I find something interesting and then bring that into the next recording session, which sounds like, oh, I've remembered this for months at a time. So it's those cool little interactions that make the story even more intertwined with itself that I find really entertaining.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. I'm also kind of guilty of that too, because back when we were producing Shiloh Reborn, I would get ideas while listening to the previous episodes. I would learn about the mystery and try and unravel it. Yeah, that's super cool. And hopefully that's what we'll do today. But even if we do lay down plot points in this story, even if we don't pick them up, they're still there and they are still cool. which I think brings us to the beginning of character creation. So you said that you had an idea already for your character. Do you happen to know which playbook you would like to use, or does your idea stand apart from any playbook in particular?
The few parts that I have worked out is playbook related, which is very nice.
Wonderful.
So the playbook that I'm really interested in working with is the teacher.
Ooh. Okay. I like that. We have not seen a teacher yet. And out of game reference, if you want, on, oh gosh, slide 39 is like the blank playbook thing.
Mm-hmm.
We can type things in there if you want, or as you are bringing things up, I can type things in there as well, just so we know where things can go. Then in the PDF, sorry about all of the tabs.
No, I'm going to scroll to the teacher. I have two different computers right now that are going through it.
Valid. So the teacher is on page 96 of the Wander Home PDF. Okay, and with the teacher, why don't you tell us a little bit about what it is? There's that little tagline beneath the name of it.
Sure.
If you want to read that out, we can get a better idea of what the teacher means.
Okay, so under the teacher, it says, across the haith. Am I pronouncing that right? It's the haith.
I say haith. I think the correct pronunciation of the, like, A-E is heath. But, you know, there are many different ways to say things around the world, so I think it depends on how you choose to say it.
Sure. Okay. So, across the haith, there are students who need teaching. You travel from town to town and help them learn the little pieces they may not yet know. You are alive, your care is wise, distant, and gentle.
Ooh, that's cool. All right. Is there anything in particular that drew you to the teacher? Maybe a word in that description or anything else within the playbook?
It's a combination of things. I think when skimming through the different type of playbooks, I've noticed that even in the show, we don't really have a teacher character. We have more of like guidance or more like managers than we do teachers. Because in our show, we have organizations called guilds that sort of run the missions that our player characters will go through. And they're more of like delegators. They say, okay, here are the type of tasks you can do, or here's what you do right, here's what you do wrong, good job, bad job, continue from there. But no one's actually, with the exception of one character that we haven't really divined into too much, there's only one character you could really consider a teacher, but they are more of a, before the story began, they were a teacher, and now they're off doing their own thing. So yeah. I've never actually delved into the teaching concept, and I kind of want to do that. There's that, and then also, which we'll probably get to in a little bit, the animals that we could choose from. I got really, really interested in playing one specific animal.
All right. Well then, to not dally too longer to get to there, do you have, I guess you can tell us in any order you want, animal you want, or name and pronouns for your character?
Sure. So I'll be perfectly honest, while we've been talking, I've been trying to find a name for my character with varying degrees of success. I think I've narrowed it down to a name. My name is Manish. It's M-A-N-I-S-H. It is from Sanskrit, which is very fun because as somebody with parents that are Indian and an Indian background, I don't usually take a lot of time to bring my culture into games, so I might as well toss a little bit of that in there now. And the cool thing about it is Manish is the meaning for it. It's from Sanskrit, and the meaning is thought and wisdom, which very much fits the style of character I want to create.
I like that.
Yep. Manish is he, him, and all of the more masculine sort of pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
And the animal that I really want to play is an owl.
Ooh. Do you have a particular owl in mind, or just like the concept of owl in general?
So there is one particular owl, but you'll probably have to look it up.
I got my Google machine open.
There is a series of games called King's Quest. They came out in the 80s and 90s, I want to say. And in King's Quest V, there is an owl called Cedric, and he might possibly be one of the most annoying game characters of all time, but I enjoy him for his annoyances, and it's that sort of owl.
Oh, great. I looked up images, and it looks like an owl with a monocle.
He's got a monocle, a little like... a tuxedo vest type thing that goes usually to like the belly button area. It's very fun.
It's like a brown owl with a blue tuxedo vest and a monocle. That's wonderful.
I love the description on the King's Quest fandom page. So Cedric the Owl, I'll read it real quick. Cedric is a wise bird, if nothing else. In the Greek myths, the owl is a symbol of the goddess Athena, who is the goddess of wise counsel. She was also a protectress. Because Athena was considered wise and the owl her symbol, the owl came to be looked upon as a wise bird. Cedric is this, if nothing else.
Okay, so he's a wise bird. Is that something that you see in Manish, or is that just the visual you'd like to see?
The more of the visual. I think Manish is much more professional, I guess, than Cedric is.
Maybe a bit more fleshed out.
a little bit more fleshed out. Because Cedric's character in the games is very much of the, I'm going to guide you. However, because this is a game, I am not going to guide you. Good luck.
Oh my gosh, yep.
I would very much recommend watching a playthrough of the game. There's a few great creators. I'll probably tell you afterwards, but they're hilarious because basically every way that you're supposed to progress in the game, Cedric's like, no, don't do that. That's dangerous. And it's like, you're supposed to do that.
I need to be dangerous to get more experience points.
Exactly.
Just reminds me of the owl from Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. He's always in your way.
Yeah. I do know what you're talking about.
It's okay. probably shows my age a little bit. Okay, so your teacher, the owl, Manish, the next thing that you have to do is to choose two things you are and two things you cannot be anymore. Every playbook has like a choose two style thing. I think they're pretty cool.
Sorry about that. I was busy dying in a corner real quick.
No worries.
So of the ones that really strike out to me are creative and renowned. I think that very much fits my image of the character as this sort of, somehow this owl can teach you anything. And I can see that spread across the Heath as like, you know, no matter what, no matter how difficult it is, or no matter how impossible the knowledge is, he's able to explain it to you in a way that makes you understand it without you even realizing it. Just like a teacher that's like, one second you don't know addition and the next second you do, and it's like, wow, this just makes sense to me now.
Okay. So people know your name around the Heath because you are well renowned. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the big thing that Manish is able to do is make you forget that you ever didn't know it. If that makes any sense. So the example that I give is, when was it that, like, do you remember exactly how it felt to learn something extremely basic, like walking? It's something at this point that's so natural. I don't know what I was saying. It's so natural, but there was a process that your parents actually would do to teach you how to walk, even if it was just stand up, like point in that direction or something. Or another thing, like I personally do not remember how I learned addition and subtraction. I just remember one day not knowing it, and the next day I knew it. And that might not be the case for everybody, but it's that sort of feeling of like trying to remember how you possibly could have lived without knowing this.
Yeah,
that's what he's able to do, is just sort of literally break apart those two timelines of having there's a period of time where you didn't know how to do it and a period of time that you did, and it just happened.
Do you have an idea for how that kind of manifests in his teaching? Like what if there's any particular thing in the teaching process that he does, or like it sounds like it's a more natural approach to how to teach things. It's like, oh, it's been in there the whole time. Now let's just you do it because you can.
Yeah, it's almost the way that I'm picturing it is that he almost envelops you in this world of that topic and only that topic until eventually you get so used to it that it becomes second nature, at which point he steps back and it's like, see, you knew it all the time. It's like, what? That makes perfect sense.
Okay. So it's like a field trip into math land.
Pretty much, yeah. What he does is he just gives you a questionable substance and you just magically know how to do things now.
That's cool. That's cool. All right. I guess our reference for it had been like addition, but is there any like particular, or I guess that's part of the subjects. We'll get to that later then. The subjects that you teach. I was going to ask if there's anything in particular, but that comes next. That comes next. Okay. So the two that you are creative and renowned. Do you have an idea for two that you can't be anymore?
You can
feel free to not choose from this list if you have like other ideas. These are just more of a easy grab if you want.
Sure. The two of these fit, and you'll start to get an idea of like how this character is when I say them. Two I'm not anymore are extroverted and talkative.
Ooh. Okay. So you aren't these anymore. So that means you were at one point.
Correct.
Okay. We don't have to dive into it, but do you think that there was a particular reason that you can no longer be these anymore? Or is it just the passage of time that has changed you a little bit?
I think it's, and this sort of shapes the way that the character is. I think at one point, Manish at one point was a learner, and then he became a teacher, and he never quite got back to being the learner anymore because he was just spread apart trying to teach everybody everything. So he's almost become disillusioned with the concept of teaching people that he used to enjoy so much. But as time has gone on, he's taken on less and less students. He's tried to do less and less. The few that he does are ones that he tries to choose specifically.
Yeah.
Because I feel like what he wants to do is learn something and then teach it. But at some point, he had so many teachings that he couldn't learn anymore. And it almost stifled him. This is a character that, unsurprisingly, very much relates to me. If I get to a point where I stop learning something or just stop doing things, I get very antsy. And I feel like that's him to a much grander state.
Hey, that's totally valid. I definitely draw from my own experiences in pretty much all of my characters. especially Mina, who is my character. Speaking of, then, before we move on, I will discuss Mina for a few seconds. I won't dabble in it too long, because most people will probably have already heard by now, but just to draw some images again. Mina is a moth tender, which is basically a post person in the Haith. She's a large, fluffy Angora rabbit. So a big, big, fluffy rabbit. She's about 6 feet tall with broad shoulders, and she stands on her hind two legs, wears a newsy hat between her ears with an occasional tuft of fur sticking out the front that is dyed purple, and wears an orange scarf that is adorned with little pins she collects. The two things that she is are curious and trusting, and the two things that she is not are proper or blunt.
That makes a very interesting character, yeah.
Yes. So she'll definitely be curious about the things you have to teach, but it probably won't be easy for her to ask those questions. okay. And then why don't we move on to the next thing in the teacher playbook? You get to choose 3 to 4 things to describe Manisha's look. You can also add extra things that aren't on this as well. I definitely chose some extra things for Mina, just like visually and whatnot. So feel free to add whatever flavor you want.
So the first thing that strikes out to me that I have to have is the oversized glasses. I feel like that fits perfectly with this character.
Yes.
So building off of the satchel of books, I feel like he would carry almost like a briefcase, I think.
Okay.
That has whatever he's trying to teach or whatever he's trying to learn, but eventually, due to external circumstances, is forced to ignore in that briefcase. So that briefcase is what he's doing now. And then at his house, he probably has like all the things I've done in the past and stuff. I think as well, he's probably got, I'm not even sure how to describe it, but sort of like he's almost trying to blend in a way with a cloak that matches everybody else. So it's very much not unique, if that means anything. Because his idea is that if I look like everybody else, then nobody will bother me. So I can actually read insert book here about topic ABC.
So basically, he just doesn't want to be noticed. He wants people to give him time to be himself.
At this point, yeah. Especially if he's out in public. The more people around him, the less he wants to be noticed. So okay. I feel like he would probably have that unique flair to him when he's in a teaching session with someone that he really admires or really does want to teach. But then with all of the other people that just come in like, please teach me about this topic. And he's like, fine. At that point, you know, he doesn't really try to look like a teacher, if that makes any sense. He just puts on whatever. And then I don't know why a concert's the first thing I thought of, but if he would not go to a concert, but if he went to a concert, he would wear literally whatever outfit is the most common outfit in that entire venue and just try to see if he could blend in.
It's like trying to hide from the paparazzi.
Exactly.
Just the paparazzi that wants to be educated and learn.
Yeah, that's what the paparazzi should do. I mean,
facts. Okay. Then let's dive into what I teased at before. That thing that makes the teacher the teacher. Wherever you go, there are children who need education. Choose three subjects you teach and one you wish you could teach. You can tell us about those. There's the list here. Be as specific or as vague and broad as you like. Three that you do teach and one you wish you could.
So I think to build off of the envelop you in the world type of concept, one thing that I think he's already able to do is the writing epic sagas. So the building a story. I think he's very good at that. I think he was not forced, but required eventually at a certain point as his fame sort of became bigger than he wished it to. He was forced to teach the knowledge of the way that they have it here is the formal language of the noble courts taught through the memorization of tables. I don't think he's interested in teaching. Like, he doesn't want to teach the king's son how to be a king, if that makes any sense, because that's not interesting to him. But at some point he was forced to because, well, I can either do this or have the king chop my head off. So at a certain point, it's like, all right, I'll learn this and I'll teach this, although I kind of don't want to. And I think the last thing that he's able to do, and probably the thing that sort of pushed him to eventually write the sagas, is astrology. I think that would be the first thing he saw, and the way that I see it is all, especially diving deep into like Greek and Roman mythology and how the constellations work, he sort of built off of that to build his stories, if that makes sense. So he's almost seeing the stars act something out in the sky and taking that down and putting that down in writing, seeing the relationship between classic texts and seeing those stories play out up above. I like
that. So you're very much writing stories through the stars.
Yeah.
Is there one of these that you wish you could teach? Maybe it has to do with what you want to teach yourself.
I think the one thing that really strikes to me and I think would fit what he wants to do is the household magic, which in this case, specifically the way it's taught, it says taught through fun and play. He's lost the enjoyment of knowledge. And so everything at this point is, here is a fact, let me shove it in your brain so that you know it. And that's eventually how learning has turned into and teaching has turned into. He's building these worlds and putting you in the place of former war leaders or influential philosophers or something like that. But he's no longer as interested in... He's lost interest in those. And when he looks through about the next thing that he wants to learn, he just wants to learn how to do really, really basic things just so that he can rebuild that enjoyment of learning. Think that's something.
So an interesting thing that all of that brings to mind is that the Haith, the world we're in, was recently caught in war but is no longer. So if you were... It's vague throughout the book about who was part of that, or, each side would probably have thought they were right, but there was a king, or there still is, this king of the floating mountain that we don't know. There's a mysterious rebellion. Do you have an idea how you felt about that? You said that Manish would teach for potentially this king of the floating mountain or some other king in the realm. Do you think that king is no longer there? What are your thoughts on that whole aspect?
I think,
is that the reason you're traveling?
Yeah. I think that we flash back X number of years, and he's very much like the teacher of the court and teaching everybody in this massive town about whatever topics are interesting to them. And as the rebellion gets bigger and bigger and the king starts to retaliate, I feel like Manish almost takes a step back and is like, everybody is wrong in this situation at one thing. Nobody is completely correct, but saying that out loud probably isn't the best idea. And then as time continues on, and you know, the king either wins or loses, I'm not sure.
I don't know if we know specifically or if there even is a victor.
Sure.
But we just know that there is no violence any longer.
Mm-hmm. So I think at the end, or the winding down phase, Manish almost, I don't want to say resigns, but almost takes a journey of, okay, I've been here for too long, learning the same things and doing the same things, losing my interest in the very thing that I have been interested in for however long it's been. And so I think his mind is that I'm going to go almost take a circle around the land, come back and see if this helps in any way.
Okay.
If I just travel around everything and come back, does that open my eyes to what the correct decision is in how the war has gone? Or does that make it even more cloudy? Does that mean I shouldn't be back at all? That sort of, like, he's taking a journey trying to open his eyes to see what he has lost.
Okay. I like that. So this has, that has sprung your journey.
Yeah.
to, I guess, potentially look for fun and play.
Yeah, look for the enjoyment that I used to have.
Yeah.
It's almost literally like an item that I dropped. It's just like, I misplaced it somewhere. Let's just go backwards and see if I can find it again. Where are my keys? That's basically what his entire journey is.
Oh, I know I misplaced them somewhere.
I had them here. So let's go back there and see if we're...
How am I supposed to drive my floating mountain without my keys?
Yeah, exactly. Gosh, I had it refurbished just the other day.
And for Mina as a moth tender, I choose like packages and things that I deliver. I've only delivered one of them so far. So I guess as a, a question, if any of them sound interesting to you, they could be potential plot hooks for us to investigate in this session. But I've been seeing them as things that I don't physically have until like I decide to explore them. I'd pick them up at the local tower before delivering them.
Sure.
Because otherwise I will have been traveling with packages for months that haven't been delivered.
Just have this large wagon behind you of like 30,000 packages.
Yeah. But one of those packages that I do have, or one of the letters I have, is a summons from the King of the Floating Mountain for a cheerful old farmer with a big family. So if you do want to explore those themes of of the king at the Floating Mountain, there is a potential through line for that. But
cool, yeah.
You know, whatever we find interesting to explore is what we'll eventually will do. With that laid down, though, do you want to tell us the next part of your playbook is one thing that you carry with you and one thing you're terrified of misplacing, and what those things are?
The thing that I'm terrified of misplacing, I think he's finally writing, if that makes any sense. He's written in the past and he's taught people how to write, but I think he's finally taken part of his journey to refind enjoyment of learning has been writing this massive story that has gone, that's taken years and years, adding piece by piece throughout his journey so far. So his goal is almost through this circle of the land, when he heads back to the kingdom, he'll have this completed massive journey, like an almost like a, I don't want to, almost like a series, like a, not Percy Jackson necessarily, obviously, but something along those lines of like long series type thing.
Like an Odyssey type thing?
An Odyssey, like an that's epic. Probably the best. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I feel like he's written shorter stories that are just very good at placing you at specific days or specific weeks of insert historical figure here, but never actually taken the time to write something more enjoyable. Instead of writing like a history book, he's writing more of a, I was going to say like a fiction book, even though this world is very much fiction based. I'm writing a sci-fi about a place where humans exist and they just sit around and drive cars all day. They drive cars, they lose their keys all the time. It's crazy.
Okay. So are you, you are basically just writing a fiction then? You're not necessarily writing about things that are happening on your journey, or you're using those as like touchstones for a fictional story?
Yeah, it's more of the latter of using my journey and then building fictional things based off of that.
Cool. You know, even fiction is based off of the real world, so.
Yeah. And then that's obviously the thing he's terrified of misplacing, because if he loses that halfway through his journey, it's almost like that entire half of a journey has just disappeared. Mm-hmm. And he has to restart from the very bottom. So the farther it goes, he's getting more and more worried about losing that item. Because if he loses it, it's almost like, okay, I have to restart the entire journey again. Because in his mind, it's almost like, if I was careless enough to lose this, why am I trying to look for the enjoyment? It's almost like he's losing his enjoyment again. He's building it back up, and then if it just breaks apart, you know, disappears, I have to start from the very bottom and start building it back up again.
Okay. And then one thing that you do carry with you, not necessarily terrified of misplacing, but just one other thing, if you want to choose off this list, you can as well.
I think he carries a diary, I guess, is probably the closest thing.
Okay. This is separate from the writing?
This is separate from the writing book. This is more of, I guess, I don't think he's actually written in the diary for a very long time, but the diary is what he had when he enjoyed learning. And so he'll occasionally go through and skim through the book and remember, oh, I remember the day I first learned. This is very unrelated to me because I despise the subject, but he's like, I remember the day I learned calculus. And all of the enjoyments that came from that.
Oh, I don't remember the day I learned calculus. I remember the day I forgot it. It was probably the day after I learned it. Wonderful. Okay. So before before we ask, the last thing on the playbook is ask one to the left and one to the right. These are sort of the things that show like how we feel about each other or the bond that we have with each other on our journey. Mm-hmm. Do you have an idea of how we started traveling together? Because both of us have been traveling around the Haith. I've been going from Moth Tower to Moth Tower doing my post-person duties. You've been on your journey trying to find your inspiration to teach again. How do you feel that we've met, I guess?
Sure. I think it's almost like a coincidence meeting of just you happen to be in insert city here and I was taking a pit stop. And I think And this is sort of, I don't know if this is cheating necessarily, because I have heard your creation episode. So that might be influencing this a bit. But I know that you're very motivated to do your job.
Yeah.
And I don't think Manish knows, but I, as Andrew, know that it's primarily partially based on the promise that you made way back when, mm-hmm. and trying to work with that. But from Manish's perspective, I think he sees just someone that's very focused on what they want to do, and that almost like urge to do it. And he's very, very curious as to what that is, because that's sort of what he's seeking, of like this need to do your job. In your case, it's more of the delivery. In my case, it's more of the teaching and trying to figure out what that is. So I feel like he almost tagged along, like, let me just take notes on you.
And it's like, what? Okay, yeah. So I'm your research subject.
Basically, like, hey, can I just take a couple notes here on you and how you are and how you operate?
So basically, Mina is your study subject.
Sort of, yeah. I think he's sort of taking notes of, if you can take notes on emotion, if that makes any sense, that's sort of what he's trying to do, of just being like, he's doing an interview, basically. What makes you tick? Why do you do this? Okay. I heard from my boss, Daisy, that you're supposed to ask questions about this particular thing.
That itself, does that influence any particular thing you would like to explore in this session? My next, like, air quotes, interview question is if there is anything within the Haith that you particularly would like to explore, sort of as, like, a wish for the session.
It's
totally fine if you don't have anything. It could be a physical place. It could be a theme.
Not really. I think sort of fitting with Manisha's character, it's sort of just let me dive in the deep end and see if I can swim. It's more of how this journey has gone so far. Of just let me go out on my own and then see what I don't know, and hopefully learn it in a way that's actually enjoyable, so I can regain the learning enjoyment, and then from there the teaching enjoyment and all that.
So maybe a little bit of a focus on, like, new things, new knowledge, or returning to a place you haven't seen in a while or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
Please don't do this. But I say very much jokingly, I want Manish to just drop into a Ford factory back in, like, 1910 and just be like, whoa, assembly lines.
I mean, if you want, we can... it doesn't have to be that, but we could stumble upon some sort of industrial location within the Haith, if that is something that you feel interested in exploring. The options are endless.
It's up to the story. I don't want to say it's up to you. It's up to the story. We'll see what happens.
We'll see where it goes. Well, then also to reinforce that specifically. If there is anything that you don't want to explore, we will. There are safety tools in place in the game that we will go over at the beginning of the actual play session.
Sure.
But whether, I guess it goes for both things that you do explicitly want to explore and things that you don't. Feel free to just interject those tools to be like, let's do this or let's do that, you know, things like that.
Sure. Yeah. I don't think there's anything. It's nothing I can think of, at least.
Totally fair. The floor is always open, though, for you to interject with that. Okay. And then to finish off our playbooks, let's go ahead and go to the ask one to the left and one to the right questions. You don't have to ask me two questions, but you can always ask more if you want. And these show how we feel about each other, how we have had a traveler's bond on this journey. Is there any question here in particular that interests you about our relationship?
What have you shown me about the world? I feel like that fits perfectly into how we are, because we have on the one side a sort of bottled up teacher trying to figure out what made him love learning, and then on the other side, a post office delivery person, basically, that's gone everywhere and has done the very thing that Manisha's attempting to do right now. And so it's almost like you've been like a tour guide in a way. And it's just like, wow, that's interesting about that and that. And you're like, yeah, that's sort of what I've been doing. I know how this works because I've done this all the time. And it's sort of that sort of aspect of it. So.
Okay. Huh. Let's see. What is the most interesting thing here? Because it could just literally be, hey, look at that cool mountain over there.
What have I shown you about the world? You know, there's a food here called okra that you should really try, or something just wild.
I think that I have shown you that either I have shown you or directly or indirectly that any place can be a location for like for pause and I guess introspection, but more of just like a place to take a breath. Because I think it sounds like Manish is very much like, I need to figure out what to do next, like where to go next to find what I want to know.
Yeah.
So it's just like maybe one day Mina is like walking from town to town and just like sitting beneath a tree eating a sandwich. And just like pausing and resting. And I guess it's just, I've shown you that anywhere in the world can be a place to pause and observe the world. A place to learn. How does that sound?
That sounds perfect. I think that's okay. Very much, that fits him in the sense of always wanting to, once a goal is done, always wanting to do the next thing. And there's, it's sort of teaching the idea of like just enjoy the success that you have, because you can't enjoy it once you're already doing the next thing. So
yeah, or maybe it's also like, in my head I saw that sandwich picture, but maybe it's also just like laying back in the grass looking at clouds being and like, oh, that one looks like something, that one looks like a rock, that one looks like
I feel a cloud. Like we've almost done this a few times, and the very first time, you're almost like, what do you see there? And I'm like, I see a nimbus cloud. No. What do you see there? Circular nimbus? No. Stratus? No. That's a duck. You understand? That is a duck.
And that is a little whisper. Whisper cloud.
Exactly. And it's like slowly dawning. Like rebuilding that creativity side that he has, but hasn't really used, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So is it maybe less of like the observation of the beauty in the world, but the realization that things can be more than their like literal truth?
Sure. Yeah. I think it's almost like he's very good at teaching people how malleable things are and knowledge is, but he's not able to do it himself. Like he's very creative in teaching you things, because he'll do wacky experiments to show you the concept of physics. Like he would be the guy that I already forgot. This shows how long it's been since I've actually done the science class, but the whole like concept of throwing a bowling ball off the Tower of Pisa versus a feather and seeing how they both fall at the same time,
right?
That sort of concept, he would be that type of guy to do something like that. And it's like, wow, that makes perfect sense. But then if you try to teach him through the exact same method, it would make no sense to him.
All right. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. Showing the creativity of the world. And then I will ask you a question from Mina's things, questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
If I can find them. Let me go and find them. They are somewhere in this book. If I scroll up, I can find them quickly enough. They are right about here. Okay. And the question that I will ask you, we've kind of already discussed the question that is, what is it about my job that so appeals to you?
Yeah.
So I think simply enough, maybe this is, as we are going, like walking into a new town, and I'm going to the Moth Tower to drop off packages or pick up some more, we see a few moths soaring in through the top window, and I take a moment and pause and look at them, and then I just look over at you and say, do you think the moths are as beautiful as I do?
Is that the question?
Yeah, that's the question.
I'm trying to word this answer properly, because he would very much word this not necessarily in like a blunt manner, but in a an uplifting manner, if that makes any sense. So I feel like his answer is almost no, but because I have not experienced them the same way that you have, I don't have the same memories that you do about them. So without those experiences, there is no way that I could see them as beautiful as you do until I myself follow those same sort of experiences and same sort of steps. At which point, with us having the same amount of information and evidence, I can formally answer if I do see them as beautiful as you do.
Okay. Do you want to go see him? I could take you up. And she like she'll hold out a hand to like offer.
I feel like he'd probably be like, sure, I guess.
And if you grab her hand, it'll be the cartoon like running and like pulling you behind, like into the moth tower.
See an owl flopping behind
up the tower and into the rafters where the moths are. Okay. And
it's either that or looking at them and be like, anatomically they're very interesting. That's it.
Oh my gosh, is that maybe what you're saying, like as you're like being dragged up the tower?
I feel like as you drag them up the tower, the first comments you see when you're like, all right, so what do you think now? Well, anatomically they're very interesting characters.
Oh, I love that. Okay, and then the last thing that I will ask of you about your playbook is if you could read off those things that you can always do. Each playbook has like a set of like base moves that you can just put into the fiction to kind of give the mood. Also, sorry for the, I don't know if you can hear it, the fire.
No, I hear you.
I'll let it pass and then restate what I'm going to say. I think it's gone. So yeah, if you want to read off those things you can do, each playbook has like a set of them, of just like stuff that you can always do, moves you can take to just add stuff to the fiction. What are some things that you as a teacher can always do?
So some things you can always do, except you is me. Wow, shocking. So let's go through them. Sit down, surrounded by others. Fumble for your supplies. Clear your throat and get everyone's attention, which I think is a skill that is fantastic if you're able to actually do it. Tell the table about tell the table about something related to a subject you teach. Ask, can you show me? Ask, what can we learn from this? They get a token if they reflect on what's around them.
Ooh, interesting. Tokens are essentially the give and take in the system. Because there are no dice, We utilize tokens to add things to the fiction and also act on the fiction. And on the playbook page for your playbook on the Journey Google Doc, there is a list of things that everyone can do to get a token and the things that you can spend a token to do. Just as a quick reference, if you ever are looking for something to do. Okay. The playbook is built. And the last thing we have in order, I ask every guest to add a physical attribute to the Haythe. So the more guests we have, the more beautiful things and interesting things in the world there are to grab from. Whether we end up exploring it in the session or not, just by talking about it and placing it on this Google slide, it brings it into existence in the world. Do you have an idea for something you would like to add? I know we talked about the other things that have been added before, but what do you think is a thing here? It can be as broad or as narrow as you would like.
So this is going to maybe sound similar to one of the ones that I built before, but there hopefully is a difference between them. This sounds a lot like the Moving Cave of Secrets, but it is hopefully slightly different. So I think for the one thing that's really striking out to me is sort of like how... what is it called? Hold up, I'm gonna actually look it up real quick. Yes, okay. So sort of like for those that are for those of us that practice the religion of Islam, I personally don't, but I'm fascinated by the religion. One aspect of it is the Hajj, or the travel, the pilgrimage to I believe it's Mecca, I think. To Mecca. It's a mandatory religious thing that you must do once in your lifetime, barring sickness or external factors or something along those lines. I think in this world, there's almost a similar sort of thing for educators. For those of us that are teachers, there's this one, I guess, central university, not quite like that, but like one central place that you go to at least once in your life. This, I feel like, is where all knowledge is placed. So I know this sort of sounds similar to the secrets thing, but instead of talking about secrets or lost history, this is the collection of known knowledge, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with having anything similar. We live in a world where there are numerous amounts of similar things, but that doesn't keep each of them from being interesting in their own ways.
True. Yeah.
You have a specific name for this place, or is it just the center of known knowledge?
Yeah.
Knowledge known.
I'm trying to think of like it either has to be really creative or very obvious, because those are the type of names that I go with. So part of me wants to be like,
if you don't have anything,
I almost want to call this place like the book. And it's not literally a book, but like a place where all knowledge that is known is written.
Yeah.
I could see this also being, this would be kind of interesting. Suppose that, because magic does exist in this world, so if everybody that's alive forgets about something, it disappears from the book and then plops into the Cave of Secrets, or ooh, some other sort of area of forgotten knowledge.
So that's cool. So this is like an actual, it is an actual like magical artifact type place.
Yeah.
Like a magical record hall or something?
Sure. It's basically like a city hall, except for the entire Haith. But the caveat is that if a fact is there, so I don't know, grass grows at 0.01 centimeters per year or something, I don't know, something ridiculous like that. That is there in the book, as long as somebody in the land knows that fact. Let's say that person passes away or that person gets bonked on the head and forgets about it, then it disappears from the book.
That's really cool. And then it goes to the Cave of Secrets?
Either that or it goes into a third cave of like forgotten knowledge or something. I'm not sure how the Cave of Secrets works, but I don't know if that's established.
There definitely could be something. Even things that are established can always be added onto or changed in different ways.
I'm just picturing like there's the Holy Trinity of like the Cave of Secrets is the knowledge that is kept hidden for whatever, or the Cave of Secrets is almost like knowledge that has not been discovered yet. And then the book is what has been discovered. And then there's like the back of the Cave of Secrets or something, which is the third part of like forgotten knowledge. And then that would be actually wild to think about, of like a circle of information. So
perhaps, perhaps things that are lost from the book go into the Cave of Lost Knowledge. And then once the Cave of Lost Knowledge, I guess, has its files full, it dumps them into the Cave of Secrets for people to find.
Everybody's later. Forgotten this for long enough. Let's toss this in the secrets and see if they rediscover it.
Yeah, potentially. Because we at least, from a like viewer perspective, have seen the Cave of Secrets. So there's definitely the idea that people have gone in and maybe found some things that were once lost. That's cool. I really like that.
I'm picturing really, I don't know why, my mind is always going to, it's part of the problem with doing improv is that there's the comedy part that's afterwards. So part of me is like, what if people just forgot something real basic? Like, what if cheese just disappeared and they had to rediscover cheese or something ridiculous like that?
You know, that could be a grand journey. Maybe.
The journey of rediscovering cheese. We call it Wisconsin, the expedition.
Oh, man. I used to, oh gosh, what was it? I there was this food that I really liked. There was bread. I know there was bread and the bread was warm, but I can't help this feeling that there was something in between it. I have to go find out.
Just picturing things like that go together. Like, guys, I know this. It's peanut butter and something, but I don't know what. There has to be something else beside the peanut butter. There's the bread, the peanut butter, and some other thing.
Oh, man. you'd be really in a pickle with that. Oh, I love that.
I'm just picturing like pickles, for example, I think are like what? I don't even know what it is. It's like cucumbers, but with, I don't know, is it vinegar or something?
Yeah, it's just old spicy cucumbers.
Yeah. So I picture somebody like, we forget pickles. And then some dude just like leaves their, like spills vinegar on the cucumber. It's like, pickles. Remember when we used to do these? Like,
I remember. We used to know about pickles.
We used to have pickles, guys.
It's like the whole raisin thing. Booms again. We forget about raisins and somebody leaves out their grapes.
Yeah, that's how you rediscover raisins, guys.
Oh my gosh. That is very interesting. I really like that. Yeah, that is super cool.
Cool.
This, honestly, like, this thing alone is, like, one of the biggest reasons I've wanted to do this, because, like, every single person has such cool ideas.
Yeah. Reading through some of these is really, really interesting.
And just, like, they've blown me away every time.
Gosh, it's almost like we're all just really good at what we do.
It's almost like every single person has a different individual experience.
Wild. Unique. What?
What?
Everyone's unique? That's not right.
And we can learn about that by talking to each other? What?
Learning?
And playing games?
Nah, man, that ain't it.